The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
That was beautiful, wasn't it? That was Kesha and Resentment. We like that track. Now, my next guest is Claire Scanlon. And Claire had a missed phone call from her mum, which I suppose really changed her lifestyle. And she's here to tell us about it. Claire, good morning to you. And thanks so much for coming in. Go back to, I suppose, your relationship with your mum and what sort of a relationship you had with her.
Yeah, so we kind of had that classic teenage daughter-mother relationship. We kind of knocked heads a lot. Mm-hmm. We were very alike, very stubborn. So kind of growing up, we definitely clashed and had a kind of an up and down relationship. And this, as I kind of got into my mid-20s, it got quite fractured to the point where I went to Australia, as most of my peers did, for a year. And my mum and I actually, we weren't in contact for that time. Mm-hmm. And through that, I did, you know, some self-reflection and kind of growing up. And I came home and I was like, let's mend this relationship. So came back, we were getting on better than we ever had, which is really nice. I actually moved abroad. I was studying abroad. And we were, you know, in regular contact, calling each other 2-3 times a week.
Would you say you were friends again?
Or yeah, friends? Yeah. I think I'd just grown up and I'd kind of seen, you know, my mum as a person, as well as being my mum. So we were just in a really good place. And then one weekend, mum rang me on Saturday and I was out with kind of the Irish Association in where I was studying. And I missed her call. And then on Sunday, I didn't ring her back because I was feeling a bit hungover. And then unfortunately on the Monday, she had passed away and I never got to ring her back.
Gosh, that must have been incredibly, incredibly tough because yeah. A shocking passing of your mum. And then also then obviously you hadn't spoken to her. How did you kind of get through that? And how long ago was that?
So this was February in 2016. And I guess it was just one of those things like, I don't know, I was kind of numb to the whole situation for a long time. I suppose I didn't really realise the extent of the guilt I was feeling until much later, I suppose, because I had to travel home, do the funeral, go back to where I was studying. I had exams. So, you know, it took several months to kind of for that all to sink in and for me to kind of reflect that. You know, I was feeling I had this guilt that, you know, I didn't make time for my mum. Yeah, it definitely had a massive impact on me. And
had she been unwell or, you know, was it a sudden death?
Yeah. So basically she'd been unwell for the majority of my teenage years and 20s. She had a chronic lung disease, but her death was sudden as well. Like mm-hmm. It was a very, kind of a stable chronic lung disease that wasn't going to get better, but she actually died quite suddenly. So okay. It was a big shock. Yeah. Even though like deep down on the inside, you're kind of always prepared for this. You can never be prepared.
No, of course you can't. Of course you can't. And then I suppose something happened because it was you were reflecting on the missed call from her and the reason that you missed it. And what happened? Tell us then what happened because you kind of changed your lifestyle because of it.
Yeah, so I suppose so she passed away in February and it took until about September, October of that year for me to kind of get back somewhat to myself. And I suppose after that grieving process, I was still kind of I had this guilt and I was finding I was very stressed in college and I suppose my mental health as a whole wasn't great. And I was kind of just going through life as I had done before, but I found that I wasn't really enjoying going out and kind of drinking with all my friends as much as I used to. And it took a good year and a half, I'd say, until I kind of connected the dots and I realized that, you know, maybe I should change something. And maybe I was feeling worse and more anxious after drinking. You know, that's a telltale sign that I should change something. But it took me a long time because, you know, no one really does that, you know, at my age, like no one's stopping drinking.
Because you were in your late 20s at this point.
Yeah, so 26, 27, 28.
When it is a very sociable, you know, party kind of time, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I guess as well, by the sound of it, Claire, you were also going through the grieving process and studying and exams. So it was probably hard, was it, to pinpoint one particular thing?
But exactly.
It turned out that for you, it was alcohol.
Yeah. And like, it was one of those things that I was kind of mulling it over in my head, like, you know, every Saturday, let's say, I would go out with friends and it'd be a nice time. But I just, on the inside, I was kind of like, what am I doing? I'm not really enjoying this as much as I used to or as much as I should. And then I'd wake up on Sunday and I'd feel really lousy and just like really, really anxious and tired and not productive. And I'd have, you know, exams or assignments that week. And it was just this kind of cycle of, you know, continuing on. And I was saying it to my boyfriend. I was saying, you know, oh, I'm thinking about stopping this drinking to see, you know, could it change my life or whatever. And he was the one who actually put me on to this 1 year no beer. He saw it on Facebook and he was like, oh, check it out kind of thing.
And 1 year no beer, just to explain to people, is basically what? 1 year without any alcohol at all.
Yeah, so it's not just beer. Mm-hmm. It's basically these two guys, Andy and Rory, they're from the UK and they set up this group, I suppose, that basically encourages you to change your relationship with alcohol. So there is there's a challenge. There's 28 days, there's a year, I think there's 6 months in between that you can take part in. But the whole idea is really just to kind of change how we as a society view alcohol. And it's really great. Like, you sign up and they send you all these kind of tips and tricks and daily emails about, you know, why you're doing it, how to stay motivated doing it, you know, how to deal with your peers who question, you know, what, you're not drinking,
and
kind of thing.
So take us back to when you decided then to do it. When did you start your 1 year no beer?
So I started it in October 2018.
Okay, so yeah. you're kind of 14 months in and out. Are you back on the beer?
Nope.
As
not,
it were.
Not yet. Yeah,
not yet.
I just kind of kept going, I suppose.
And so how did you find it initially? And those, you know, was there a certain day or date? Did you kind of go, right, that's it, I'm going to start? Or
yeah, so one of my best friends, she came to visit me and I said it to her. She was the first of my friends that I told. And I was like, look, I'm going to do this. And she was like, yeah, that's deadly. So I think it was like the Sunday evening or something, we had my last cocktail together. And then the next day I just started. And like, there was it wasn't a specific time. I didn't want to do, you know, 1st of January or I just wanted to randomly kind of just do it. And yeah, so that was it, kind of.
And did you find it hard, say, the first, I suppose, Saturday night maybe that all your friends were going out? Did you find it tough? Did you go out with them and how was your night out?
Yeah, so I, when I came home, so it was like October I started and I came home in December for Christmas and all my best friends at home, we do kind of a Christmas dinner. And I remember I turned up and I put my alcohol-free wine in the cooler and one of the girls was like, what is that? And the thing is, like, I suppose, you know, in social circumstances, people either think you're sick or that you're pregnant or that you have a massive drinking problem if you're not drinking. And all of my friends were just, they were quite shocked. You know, I hadn't told them as a group and they were all kind of taken aback, you know. And I suppose, because I drink the same as they drink, and suddenly they were questioning, oh God, why is she giving up? And it wasn't about the alcohol I was drinking or how regular or anything. It was more just kind of how it was making me feel and my mental health. And after they kind of understood that, they were so accepting and they were brilliant, actually. And it made it really easy to have such a good group of friends.
And did it change your, I mean, apart from that Christmas dinner that you had, you've done it now for over a year. Has it changed how you socialise or how you go out or how you meet people?
I suppose, I mean, I'm not staying out as late as I probably would have been when I was drinking, because you get tired a lot sooner. But aside from that, it hasn't stopped me doing anything. You know, I have had loads of 30th birthdays. I've had several weddings, trip to Australia without booze at all. And once you get over that initial, like, oh my God, I'm not drinking, it's actually fine. And like, it doesn't stop me from enjoying anything. And hopefully I'm still the same fun person if, you know, that I've always been.
Think that, because you were in the UK studying, were you?
No, I was actually in Hungary, in Budapest.
In Budapest. Yeah. And do you think that it's a real Irish thing, the kind of obsession with drinking and pubs? And I mean, it's interesting, you know, that you said that people were like, oh, you must be either pregnant or you have an alcohol problem to be giving it up.
Yeah.
You know, how did you find it, say, when you were in Hungary? You know, did people question it there or?
No, not really. It's definitely a different kind of attitude to drinking. I found in Hungary, actually, the non-alcoholic options, they have tons of non-alcoholic beers or really low alcohol percentage beers, and like mocktails are everywhere and alcohol-free wines. So it's really accessible in Hungary. And then all my, you know, my classmates, they're from all over the world, and they were just like, yeah, that's cool, whatever. Oh, I did that too. Definitely a different attitude to drinking than I think in the UK and Ireland.
And have any of your friends done it?
Not yet, but I've had like several people message me, you know, on social media being like, you know, these aren't like close friends, just kind of people I know from around, and they're like, oh, that's so cool, you've done that, I want to do that, how did you do that? Kind of asking for advice. And I think that's really nice. Like, it's something that I think a lot of people think about, but it's kind of hard to break through.
And how do you feel now? I mean, how's, you know, you mentioned that it was partly with mental health issues that you wanted to give it up. And how are you feeling now?
Great. Like, I feel kind of back to my, it sounds really cheesy, but like, I really feel like I kind of was able to spend the time that I probably would have been hungover, just kind of getting back to my old self. You know, I feel like a teenage Claire nearly before I started drinking, which sounds really weird, but I just feel so much more kind of content with myself, mm-hmm. more confident, my self-esteem is back up, I sleep so much better, I'm able to, you know, exercise more. I feel like I'm kind of the fittest I've been in years.
And you said something to me about your hair as well when we were just before we were talking.
My hair is really shiny. I don't know if that's to do with the alcohol or not, or just lifestyle.
There's a myth about washing your hair in beer that apparently is supposed to be good, but obviously staying off it completely is very good for the hair.
Yeah, it might be a good thing as well. Who knows?
And I suppose, look, you know, it's about, is it 4 years now nearly that your mum passed away?
So. Yeah, three, going on four.
And how are you feeling about that? Christmas is obviously a hard time.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's definitely tough. I suppose, like, you know, I'm at a point now where I can happily reflect on my mum mm-hmm. and her life and our relationship. There is still a bit of that kind of guilt that I just missed that call, really. It's just unfortunate. Like, I wish that we would have had that last bit. But
like you said, you've obviously had, you know, so many good times with her, and especially when you kind of came back and you had a better relationship with her after your travels.
Exactly. Like mm-hmm. the last conversation that we actually did have was lovely, and I will remember that as if it was the last. So yeah, it's nice that we were in such a good place before she actually passed away. So,
well, that's good. Yeah. Claire, if anybody's listening and wants to know more about one year no beer, what's the best way? Where do they find out about it?
Yeah, so they have, if you Google 1 year no beer, they have a website and it gives you all the information. And, you know, if you have some questions, like, they're really accessible, they'll get back to you straight away. The guys are amazing, they're really nice, and like, there's thousands of people all across the world who sign up to it. It's growing, and it's actually just really brilliant. I really recommend.
Excellent. Claire, listen, thanks so much for coming into us this morning.
Lovely
to meet you.
You too.
Claire Scanlon there, 1 year no beer. Google it and you'll find out all you need to know. We'll take a quick break now.